We're up to Torah Peches in Likutei Moran Tanina. This chapter is tied in with the previous Torah that we learned. In the previous chapter that we learned about the Soid Kavona Selel and about the topic of Tshuva. And there, the topic of Elul and Tshuva was related to a person looking for his Zivug. Specifically, the example that Rabbein Azal gave related to Yitzchok Avinu, when Avram Avinu sent Eliezer, his servant, to go look for Yitzchok Avinu's mate, Yitzchok Avinu's Zivug, and he taught him the Soid Kavonas Elul, which is what would help him to find Yitzchok Avinu's mate, and also to see to it that she should be willing to come along and willing to support, be supportive of Yitzchok Avinu. This chapter, as we're going to see later, is also tied into this topic of searching for a lost article. Rabbein Azal, in introducing this Torah, Rabbein Azal said to his Talmidim that today I saw a new malach, and Rabbein Azal said, I know the name of this malach, and this angel, this malach, he discusses in this chapter on Likutei Moran, as we're going to see soon. Rabbein Azal begins by saying, Tzorich li zoher ma'oid, a yid has to be very, very careful, shelo lecho pri, shelo nizbash lo kol tzorcho, not to eat a fruit that's not fully ripened. Just as it's forbidden to cut down a tree, a fruit-bearing tree, before its right time. As the Gemara says in Baba Basra, the Gemara over there discusses the issue of a Jew planting a tree right next to, if two Jews have neighboring fields. Let's say one Jew has a field in which he's growing tvua, wheat, or barley, or anything else, and another Jew has an orchard in which he has trees, apple trees or other things like that. So the Torah says that you have to be careful to be marchik v'ilonois, to see to it that there should be a distance of at least dalet amos from where the trees are to where this other person's field begins. Why? Because we know that a tree, the roots extend underground and they expand, and the roots of this tree could extend into the other person's field and start doing damage to his field. So the Gemara there tells the story of one of the Amoraim who planted a tree near somebody's field, and the other one told him, go cut it down, cut down the tree. So he said to him, I'm afraid to cut down the tree because this is a fruit-bearing tree, and I know, I believe he said about himself or about somebody else, that somebody lost one of their children because they cut down a fruit-bearing tree. Because he cut down a tree that bears fruit, that's why he lost one of his children, Rachmana Litzlan. This is what the Gemara says. And interestingly, in this Gemara, this is brought in Baba Basra Daf Chofov. If you look over there in the Gemara, by the Mesiras Hashas, you know, where the Gemara quotes items that are being brought down as far as halacha, the question is this item brought in Shulchan Aruch as a halacha? If this is a law, the way Rabbein Azal is presenting it here, kein osur litloi, that osur lokutz ilan b'lois manoi, where is that in Shulchan Aruch? Which chapter in Shulchan Aruch discusses this item? And you would start fishing, try to imagine where this is to be found. It's interesting that it's found in Yeridea, in a law that deals with items that a person is not permitted to eat, because they are items that are related to Avodah Zorah, things like that, Macholos or Asurois, those types of items. That's where this halacha is brought, and it's not brought in the tour, it's not brought in the regular channels in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a Taz over there, where the Taz says, he quotes this item in the name of the Gemara from its source, that it's forbidden to cut down a fruit-bearing tree, and he says it's very strange to him that the regular leaders of the Shulchan Aruch did not quote this item, that the Tur, in writing his Shulchan Aruch, did not quote this halach at all. But the Taz does quote it as halach lamaisa. And the Taz says that he was once matir for somebody, when are you allowed to cut down such a tree? The answer is, only if you need the place where that tree is for something more important. For example, if a person wants to build a house, and he wants to put up the house, and he has a piece of property on which there are trees, do we say that he can't build a house because there's trees there? The answer is, as long as he's going to replace the trees with something more important, then he's permitted to do it. You're forbidden to do this when you're just cutting down the tree stump like that, stump like this. Again, also, if the wood of that tree is something that's very, very significant to be sold as psamim, let's say, to be sold as spices or a certain very outstanding type of firewood that could be sold for a very expensive price, there also you're allowed to cut down the tree, even if it's a fruit-bearing tree, since the use that you're going to have for the wood is more significant than the fruit itself, period. But it's interesting to know that this halacha is brought in that manner. So now Rabbi Nezal says that a person has to be very, very careful not to eat a fruit that's not fully ripened. And Rabbi Nezal explains, "Ukemoi she'osur lo kutzilan b'leizmanoi," just as it's forbidden to cut down a tree, a fruit-bearing tree, before its right time. "Kemoi shamrazal," as the Gemara says, "kein osur litloish pri koidem bishula." So too, you're not allowed to rip off a fruit from a tree before that fruit is fully ripened. V'chein osur lo'ichla. And there's a second item in that you're not allowed to eat an unripened fruit, a fruit that's not completely ripe. V'ho'ichel pri koidem gamar bishula. And if a person eats a fruit before it's fully ripened, yecholo lahazik lo'y me'oid, it can do a lot of damage to that person's neshama. If a yid eats a fruit before the fruit is fully ripened, it can do a lot of damage to that person's neshama. Rabbi Nezal explains, ki yuchal la'abed nafshoy al yedei zeh, because a person can actually destroy his neshama by doing this, by eating a fruit that's not fully ripe. Rabbi Nezal explains now, ki hapri kolz man shehitzricho lezgadel yesh lo koyach hamoshech. A fruit, throughout the period of time that it needs to grow to become fully ripe, let's say an apple on a tree would have to grow for 6.5 months. Throughout that period of 6.5 months that it's growing, yesh lo koyach hamoshech, it has a power of drawing. It has like a suction power, where it's sucking nourishment, it's sucking life. Kihi tzricho chius lehizgadel. This apple needs strength, it needs life, to be able to grow to its full amount, to its fully ripened state. V'alkein, and therefore, bevadai yesh lo koyach hamoshech shemosheches yenikosa v'chiyusa. Therefore, this apple, this fruit, definitely has a koyach hamoshech, a drawing power, by which it's drawing chiyus, it's drawing life from this tree, from its source. Ukishetoil shenoiso koydam zmano. And when a person chas v'sholom rips it off the tree before it's fully ripe, koydem shenis bashlo adayin kol tzorcho, before it has become fully ripe, and koydem zmanam, and before its right time, koydem shenis bashlo adayin kol tzorcho, before it's fully ripened, adayin yesh lo koyach hamoshech, this fruit is still pulling. It's pulling. It knows it's supposed to be pulling life from the tree for 6.5 months. If you cut it off after 6 months, it knows that for another 15 days, it's supposed to be pulling. It's supposed to be sucking life. If it were attached to the tree, it would be sucking life from the tree. It would be sucking this power that it needs to be able to become fully grown, fully ripened. Kishem is bashel es kol tzorcho, because when the fruit becomes fully ripened, shuv posak mimeno koyach hamoshech. It's like an alarm goes off and says, finished, ready. And that's when the fruit stops pulling. It stops drawing. It stops sucking life. Ki eino tzricho oid limsheichias. Because it no longer needs to draw this life, this energy from the tree anymore. Avol kishet tzricho lizbashil oidat oid. But when it does need to become more ripened, adayin yesh lo koyach hamoshech, then this drawing power, this sucking power, is still going strong. V'alkein, and therefore, zeh ho'ich lo koydem gmar bishula. If a yid takes this fruit that's not fully ripened. It was supposed to be on the tree for another 15 days, and it was supposed to be sucking life from that tree for another 15 days until it graduates and it gets its diploma that it's fully ripened and it's finished. Now it's able to stand on its own. It doesn't have to draw any more life from something. And if a person goes ahead and eats it at that time, tuchal haperi limshoich liatzmo chius hanefesh shel zeh odom, the fruit can actually start drawing its life, sucking out life and energy from the nefesh of the person himself that just ate this fruit. Me'achar she'adayin yesh la'peri koyach ha'moshech kanal. Since this pulling power is still active in this fruit, since this fruit is still looking to suck life, to suck nourishment, it's not fully grown, and it needs more life for it to be able to complete itself, it can chas v'sholem start drawing that life from the person's nefesh, from the person's neshama. V'yuchal la'abed nafshoi, and it can actually chas v'sholem destroy the person's neshama. Period. This is a warning, an azchoro that Rabbeinu Zal is giving, that you should know that this is a dangerous item. If a yid ever is presented with a fruit, and the fruit is not completely ripe, don't eat it. Because you see this fruit, it looks like a calm fruit. It looks like a nice guy laying there quietly. It's not jumping up and down. It's not yelling and screaming. But you don't see what's going on inside of that fruit. You don't see that because the fruit was disconnected from the tree before the right time, it was still supposed to be drawing, sucking out of that tree more of what it needed to complete itself. And the fact that it's not doing it, that power, that force is still active inside this fruit. Now you go ahead and take a bite out of this fruit and start eating it, that thing is still alive in a sense. And it's still alive and it's incomplete. And it's going to fight to complete itself. And Rabbeinu Zal says one of the things that it's going to do, chas v'sholem, is it could start trying to draw its shlemus from your own nefesh, chas v'sholem. And unless your nefesh is strong enough, there's a possibility that it can win over your nefesh. It can draw that chias to itself, where the person no longer has enough chias for what he needs, and chas v'sholem, the person could die from it. V'im kol zeh, and Rabbeinu Zal says, but still, im mevorech habrocho shel apri bekavono ubeyiras shamayim. If when a yid makes a brocha on this fruit, he's careful to make the brocha with kavono. Kavono means he concentrates on exactly what he's saying. Baruch, blessed, ato, you, Hashem, Hashem, Elokeinu, our Hashem, Melech Ha'olam, King of the World, Borei, who created, pri, the fruit, Ha'etz, of the tree. That sounds funny, but let's ask anybody around this table, or anybody in the world, how many times do you make a bracha on a fruit? And you don't translate it in your mind. You don't think of what you're saying. And if a person asked you a second later, what did you say? I said, blah, blah. That's what you said. Did you translate? Did you stop to think what you were saying? That you were thanking Hashem? You were acknowledging that Hashem creates all the fruit on all the trees? You don't do it. That takes a few seconds to think. Rabbeinu Zal says, if a yid is particular, when he makes the bracha, to make it with kavona and with yiras shamayim, afraid of Hashem, afraid of what? What's there to be afraid of? Afraid that if there's a being up there that's so great that it created billions of apples and billions of oranges and billions, all the different fruit in the world, that's something to be afraid of. That's something that's bigger than me, as big a big shot as I think I am, and as great as I am, and smart and strong, I'm zero compared to somebody that made this apple, because I can't create an apple. Let me see if I can create an apple. Can I create an apple? No way. Then obviously the one that created this apple is bigger than me. If he's bigger than me, then I have to listen to what he says. And if I listen to what he says, he's in a position to reward me. And if I don't listen, he's in a position to give a patch, a real patch. If a person thinks about this at the time that they're making a bracha, azai yuchal lihinotzel mizeh, that can serve to protect a person from this type of damage, where even if he ate a fruit that wasn't ripe, a person would be protected that it would not be able to harm him. V'gam im hu chozok b'yoyser b'avodas Hashem, and also if a Yid is very, very religious, very frum, is a tzaddik, yuchal gam kein lohitzi oit chias mehaperi velinze shom avedos. Then, not only does the fruit not draw life from him, not only will the fruit not take away koyach from him, but he'll be able to take koyach out of that fruit. He'll be able to draw chias, to draw strength to himself from that fruit, v'limtzoi shom avedos, and he'll be able to find in that fruit lost items, lost articles. The Arizal reveals in his Sforim that you should know that out of all the different types of items in this world in which are found gilgulei neshamos, the fruit contained the most. Fruit are the items which it's most prevalent when a neshama comes back begilgul that it should be found within fruit. Now you have a choice. Either that neshama can win you over, chas v'shalom, either that neshama can draw chias away from you, chas v'shalom, or you can draw chias from that neshama. In a sense, there is a type of battle that takes place, where it's possible, just like lahavdil, in physical battle, two people are having a tug of war over something. This one wants it and that one wants it, and they're both pulling on it to see who's going to be stronger, who's going to grab it to themselves. So too, in a sense, kaviyochel here, there is a certain fight taking place here, a certain turmoil, a certain potential battle for chiyas dikdusha, for being elevated. And it's possible for a person to be elevated, begashmias and beruchnias, each time the person eats a fruit, that besides giving him physical nourishment, it could heighten his neshama. He can literally incorporate into himself, absorb into himself, that neshama, that chiyas that was in that peri, and be able to become greater as a result of it. Or, if he eats a fruit that's not fully ripe, or he eats it, he doesn't make a brocha with kavona, he doesn't make a brocha with yirah shamayim, then there's a potential for the food to do damage to him. How many times do we have a case where a person eats a fruit, and not only will that fruit not stay in his stomach, but because he ate that fruit, it'll cause him to throw up, where he'll be weaker as a result of eating that fruit, he'll be weaker than if he didn't eat the fruit. Not only does he give out the fruit, but he cleans out his whole stomach, because he got a bad stomach from it, that kind of thing, begashmias, we know there is such a possibility. Rabbi Nezal says, beruchnias also, there's a possibility for you to draw chias from this item, or there's a possibility for it to drain you from chias, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nezal says, ki yesh dvorim avudim, there are certain lost articles, there are certain lost items. V'yesh boze dvorim nifloim soidois nistorim v'noiroim ma'oid rozni loin. Rabbi Nezal says there are wondrous, awesome, hidden secrets of the Torah that are related to this. The deepest secrets of the Torah about neshamos and about gilgulim and many, many other secrets related to this topic of these lost articles that get lost and that require a tikkun, and exactly how they're tikkun, how they reach shlemus. V'ho'ikar, and the main thing that we want to stress here is, she'ha'odom tzorich lizoyer mizem ha'oid, that a person has to be very, very careful about this. Hainu shelo ilecho el pri koidim shenes bashel kol tzorcha. Very careful not to eat a fruit before it's fully ripe. V'da, Rabbi Nezal says, and you should know also, ki gam kishem evashlem aperis bevesoi. Let's say a person takes a fruit off a tree before it's fully ripe, and he cooks it. Or he lets it become ripe in his house. There are people who take tomatoes, for example. They'll cut the tomatoes off the branches while it's still green, before it's fully ripe, and they'll let it ripen in the house. They'll leave it on the windowsill in the house for it to become fully ripened. Rabbi Nezal says, V'da ki gam kishem evashlem aperis bevesoi einoi moyil ozeh. It does not help this item. Avol im haperos shelo nisbashlu kol tzorchon alo ilon. I'm sorry. This kishem evashlem here is referring to cooking it. No question. The first shem evashlem here is cooking. Ki gam kishem evashlem haperos bevesoi. If you cook the fruit in your house, ein moyil ozeh, it will not help. Avol im ha-peiroiz shalein is bashlo kol tzorchan al ilon. Hey munochem eiz zman ad shenaslu mevusholem me'alein betolush.
But if you take this vegetable or this fruit and you let it reach its fully ripe state by itself, you leave it alone where it becomes fully ripened by itself, not that you cook it or anything. It seems so. I believe that tomatoes specifically, for example,
I don't know who to apply. I mean, if it's a fruit-bearing tree,
right?
The halachas that you purchased it with would not apply to something like a tomato. So if the halacha that you mentioned is a prerequisite, then this would not apply.
Meaning the question of the tree is saying.
Right.
The question regarding cutting down a tree. The answer is that definitely refers to fruit-bearing tree, but Rabbi Nizal is bringing this moshel regarding the peiros. I believe, in other words, the term peri sometimes is applied to a tomato. I believe I once heard that there is a shiloh, whether that's a fruit or a vegetable, to some extent.
That's
right. Exactly.
Peaches also.
It still would not fall into the category of the type of tree that would be circumscribed by the halacha.
Yeah, but I think you might be making a mistake. Rabbi Nizal didn't connect that. Rabbi Nizal brought proof from the tree. Just like by a tree, there is a concept of not cutting it off before its right time by a fruit-bearing tree. So too, there's a concept regarding a peri, a fruit or a vegetable, something like that, of disconnecting it from its source, cutting it down, in a sense, before its right time. That's the way he was presenting it. Not to say that this is limited to that, you understand? As far as I know. So now Rabbi Nizal says, but if you leave it to become ripe by itself, betolush, even after it's disconnected from its tree, ze moil, that can help? Umutar loichlan, and in that case, it is permissible to eat it. If it became fully ripe by itself, not by cooking it, but by itself, that will help. That is considered as if it became ripe while it was still on the tree. Rabbi Nizal says now, this is like a person who's very tired. A person just ran 3 blocks, running full speed. What happens the second he stops? He's breathing very deep. He's sucking in big gulps of air because he needs more oxygen than he normally would get by breathing regular. Because his body exerted so much more energy, he's got to suck in much more energy than he gets through normal, regular breathing. That's why the body naturally goes like that fast, hard breathing after running. And the person starts breathing real hard and fast. In Yiddish, it's called sapin. He's sapping the air. He's drawing the air real quickly. Until he's fully rested, until the system inside, the respiratory system, calms down and goes back to normal. Kemoi kein, so too, elu haperos, these fruit, shenitlishu koidem shenizbashlu kol tzorchon, which were taken off a tree before they fully ripened, tzorich lahamtin ad sheyonuchu meirichifoson. Them also, you have to wait till they calm down, till the fruit finishes its sapin, its sucking in this air real hard. Va'oz yesh heter loichlon, and then it becomes permissible to eat it. V'hadvorim stumin, and this subject is hidden. Rabbi Nizal is telling us very clearly, and Rabbi Nosson Zal, that I know that there are things that aren't clear here, and I want you to know that there are secrets involved here, secrets of Kabbalah as to exactly why it is this way. But he's telling us fact. You better take it from the one who knows that this is exactly what takes place. Period.
What do you mean that the apple sucks in life from the person if it's already cut up into pieces by the bites?
The fact that this apple wasn't completely ripe means that it still living in a sense. It's still pulling, you understand? Even though you normally learn from science or other things that the second you cut something off a tree, boom, it's dead, right? While it's attached to the tree, it's growing, it's living and everything, right? You can see it become larger and everything, right? The minute you cut it off a tree, it's finished. It's not, it can't grow anymore, right? Whereas we know factually that that's not true, number one. Because we know, for example, I'm giving you the example of a tomato. A tomato, there are tomatoes, which when you leave it on its branch until it gets fully, fully ripened, its fully ripe color is red. It's a real nice red tomato. There are cases where people take the tomato off the branch while it's green. If you would bite into it, it would taste horrible. It's not like a sour tomato, a pickled tomato. We're talking about an unripe tomato. It's green and it's hard and it doesn't taste like anything. It doesn't taste good at all. And this tomato, if you leave it in the sun, let's say, or you leave it, you know, in a place where there's sunlight, or you leave it, you'll see slowly over a period of a few days, it's going to start slowly turning from green to red. What does that mean? What's happening to it? It's becoming ripe. It's becoming, it's finishing, it's developing. What do you mean it's finishing, it's developing? Or bananas, exactly. What do you mean it's finishing, developing? It's not on the tree anymore. What could be happening? The answer is, it's alive. Beruchnius. It's alive, and it's continuing to grow to its shlemus. When does it become shlem? When it's fully ripe. As soon as that happens, it calms down, and it's finished. It doesn't suck anymore. It doesn't pull anymore.
I mean, when it's cut off the tree, I mean, when you bite even, it, it's cutting
it. Right, breaking it up into bits, chewing it up in your mouth, and swallowing it in little pieces that are half an inch big. Those little pieces are still alive and can be drawing energy from you. They can be drawing chiyas, beruchnias, from your neshama. They can be pulling on your neshama and trying to steal some of the energy that your neshama needs to live, to help you do mitzvahs, ma'asim tov, and everything. They could be stealing some of that energy and using it to complete themselves in your stomach.
That means like...
Now, just like we know, begashmias, if a person eats a fruit that's not ripe yet, usually it'll cause the person to throw up, chas v'shalom, and it causes very bad stomach ache, that kind of thing. That's begashmias. It shows itself that it can do that damage. Rabbein Azal is telling you here, beruchnias, what this does, what effect this has on your neshama.
It's very interesting that usually the vegetables, most vegetables, you pick them young, and they're very tender and green. For instance, a corn, you can eat the corn with the cob and everything. Or a carrot, it's very tender when it's young. But most fruits, which get ripe, they're not tasty, they're not good to eat, they're not good for you physically until they're totally ripe.
Exactly. Exactly. Now the question is, why is it this way? Obviously, there are differences between them. Major difference spiritually in what this represents and what this represents and what this accomplishes and what this...
And after the vegetables...
The Gemara. There are differences halacha-wise, many different halachas that apply to fruit and don't apply to vegetables, or apply to this and don't apply to that, because the way that they ripen is different. Certain things, likitoson kachas, when you pick them, they all become ripe at the same time. All the fruit of this tree becomes ripe at the same time. Whereas vegetables or other things, you can plant this whole bunch at the same time, one will become ripe before the other one. Why? Yesh bozeh dvorim stumen. There are secrets here. There's Gilgulim involved, there's different things taking place spiritually there that are definitely affecting the physical growth and development of this item. Let's finish the Torah, we'll take the next round of questions. Now Rabbein Azal says something which seems to be not so connected to what he said at first, and it's very connected to what he said in the beginning. Veda, Rabbein Azal says, and you should know, Sheyesh Malach, there is a certain angel, the Tachtov Kamo Memunim, and this angel has many angels that are under him, where he's the boss of them. The Kulam Oichazin Beyodom Shoifrois. And all of these angels that are subservient to this angel that's over them, all of them hold shoifers in their hand. Vehem Oimdim, the Choifrim Tomid. And the function of these angels, these maluchim, their purpose is to dig. They're constantly digging. And umechapsim tomid achar avedos. They're constantly searching for lost articles, for things that are lost. Vehem toikim tkiyo teruah. And these malachim blow with their shofars tkiya, trua, and then tkiya again. And whenever these malachim find something that was lost, there's a tremendous explosion of noise and happiness. There's a tremendous celebration that takes place every time they find a lost article. Kiyesh kamo dvorim avudim. Rabbi Nezal says, you should know that there are many different kinds of lost articles. Hainu ma she'ovdim avedois harbe al yedei hatayvois. This that people end up losing a lot of different things because of their desires, because of their taivos, because a person has desires for what they're not supposed to have, this causes a person to lose things. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, taivas rishoim toived, the desires of a rasha will cause him to lose things. Va'afilu mishehu tzadik hu oived gam ken lefomim, and even a person that's a tzadik will also lose things sometimes. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Koheles, yesh tzadik oived betzidkoi, that there is a concept of a tzadik losing something within his tzidkus. While he's a tzadik, he's also losing. Vafilu hatzadikim hachoifrim umevakshim achar avedois, and even those tzadikim who dig and search for lost articles, heim oivdim gamkein lefomim, those tzadikim, in their process of digging and searching for lost items, sometimes they'll lose things also. Bebechinas yachparu v'yoivedu, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, they dig and they lose. So we see that even those that are digging for these lost articles, searching for these lost articles, they also lose sometimes. V'ze bechinas shafil, right, shafilu achoyfrim achar avedois choyzrim v'yoivdim lefomim. Even those people that are digging for lost articles, they sometimes go ahead and lose again. V'ze bechinas eis la'abed. This is what Koheles refers to when he says, there's a time to lose. There's a time when a person is digging for something that's very, very important, very special, and in order to find that, he has to give up something that's less special. Rabbi Nezal gave a mushal once. Rabbi Nezal said, why is it that when a person becomes niskarif to the tzaddik, many times a person comes close to the tzaddik, and when he starts coming close, he's wealthy, he's a rich man. And as a result of becoming attached to the tzaddik, we see suddenly his wealth starts going down and down. He starts losing all his wealth. Why is it? Rabbi Nezal said, you should know, because when a person starts coming close to the tzaddik, what does it mean? It means his neshama is searching. It's looking for something. When it finds the tzaddik, it realizes that it has found the most special thing in the world. The Torah writes about itself, Hanechmodim mizohov umipozrov, that the Torah is more precious than gold, than the most expensive type of gold. If I'm holding a sack of silver in my hand, a big bag of silver, I go in the street somewhere, I go for a walk in the forest, and I find a big, heavy bag of silver, a 50-pound bag of silver. 50 pounds of silver is worth $5,644. And I find it, and I'm very excited, I pick up this bag, and I start running home with it. And as I'm running, I see another bag on the floor, and I see this bag is loaded with gold. Pure gold. 50-pound bag of gold is worth $50 million. What do I do with that bag of silver if I have any brains? I take the silver and I drop it, and I pick up the gold and I run home with that, because the silver compared to the gold is worthless almost. It's much less worthwhile. So Rabbi Nezal says, many times the reaction of the neshama, when the neshama sees that it's found what it's looking for, it drops the less important thing in order to be able to really take hold of and grab and get the more important thing, the Torah, the Kesher to the Tzaddik. So here also Rabbi Nezal is giving an example that sometimes in the searching process, sometimes a person loses something during the searching process. V'zeh, Rabbi Nezal says, this is what's hinted to in the Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, Taivas Rishoim Toived Roshe Tevois Tekiah Trua Tekiah. We know that the Roshe Tevois when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and in the Siddurim, they want to show how you write Tkiyah, Trua Tkiyah. It's written Tuf Resh Tuf. The abbreviation Tuf Resh Tuf, which is the abbreviation for Tkiyah, Trua Tkiyah, is also the first letters of the Pasuk Taivas Rishoim Toivein, that the desires of a Rosha cause him to lose things. Ki ha-malochim ha-mechapsim achar ho-avedos, because these malochim who search for these lost articles, shehem b'chinas taivas rishon toiveid, which are related to what we said earlier, that the Rosha, through his taivas, ends up forfeiting things, he ends up losing things, heim oichazim biyodom shofreis, these malochim are holding shofreis in their hands, v'toikim tkiya trua tkiya kanal, and they're blowing this tkiya trua tkiya. Therefore, the connection between tkiya trua tkiya and taivas rishoim toivei, because of the fact that there are these malochim who hold these shofreis, and this is exactly what they blow, and their function is searching for these lost articles that the rishoim have lost as a result of their taivas. Rab Nosson Zal writes, "V'gam hizkir oz shekoshe ma'oid ma'oid liyos mekabel." Rabbeinu Zal, when he was discussing this shir, he also mentioned the fact that it's very, very difficult to have to be a mekabel, to have to be supported by other people, where you have to other people have to give you tzedakah to support you. That's very, very difficult. That's one item that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned that's related to this subject. V'gam hizkir oz, and Rabbeinu Zal also mentioned another item, kinas soifrim tarbe chochma. The Gemara says that when you have a Talmud Chacham, a person that's really frum, and he sees somebody else that knows more than him, that's more learned than him, that's more religious than him, what does he do? What does he say? I wish that person forgets his learning? Or I hope that person drops, or I hope that person breaks his head? No. He says, I wish I could become like that person. I'm jealous of that person. That person knows more than me. I want to get to know as much as they want. Not that I hate him. I love him. Not that I feel bad or anything like that. Baloney. I feel good. I'm happy for that person. I feel a little bad for myself that I want to know more. And this is going to push me. This is going to drive me to know more. Till now, I was a schlepper. I was a little lazy. But the fact that I see that he knows more than me, and I know that if he knows it, there's no reason why I shouldn't know it, I'm going to push myself a little bit harder, and I'm going to get to know what that other person knows. So the Gemara says, Kinas, Seifrim, the jealousy of Talmidei Chachamim, Tar Bechochmo, that causes them to increase their knowledge. It pushes them, it gives them the drive, the initiative, to increase their knowledge. V'loi bier kol zeh. And Rabbeinu Zal did not explain this. He quoted these two items in the Gemara related to this, and he did not explain. Ki heim dvorim stumim v'chasumim, because these items are very secret, are very much secrets, and hidden, sealed, closed items. Rab Nosson Zal writes, Gam nishkach k'tzas, I also forgot some of what Rabbeinu Zal said at the time that he was discussing this, ki loy kosavtim bizmanoi kiim bederech remez, because when I heard this shir, I wasn't careful to write it down completely. I only wrote down short notes for myself, and as a result, because this was so difficult an item and deep an item, I ended up forgetting part of it. This is what Rabbeinu Zal says. Kasher nidfas kvar behatfosa rishona, as is brought in the first printing of Likutei Moran, which means in the first chelik of Likutei Moran, there is a little bit that's related to this. In Torah Kuf Pei Ches. Next, the Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, Shekol Hanal, Dehainu Inyan Kavona Selu, Shem Tikkun L'Pgam HaBris, V'Inyan HaPeirois Hanal, V'Inyan Zeh Shel HaMalach Kanal, HaKoil Echod. Rabbeinu Zal said that the previous chapter that we learned about the Kavonas of Elul and the two major topics that are discussed in this chapter about the fruit and about these malochim, this is all one topic. It's all one subject. V'yesh boze rozim gedolim, and there are very, very great secrets related to this.
Baruch Hashem. This chapter on Likutei Moran, we're going to see that there is another chapter in the first chelik of Likutei Moran that's related to it. Let's do that first, maybe. We'll go over it quickly. Torah Kuf Pei Ches in Likutei Moran Chelik Aleph. Turn to page 253 in our Likutei Morans. Go back to page 253 of the first chelik, and let's go over that Torah quickly. Torah Kuf Pei Ches. Rabbein Azal says, Da you should know, Shetzorich Linsoya LaHatzadik Lachzor Achravidosoy. Oyid has to travel to the tzaddik to search for his lost article. Ki koidem shiyotzo odom laver oilom, before a person is released into the air of this world, melamdin umarin loy koma shetzorich lasois velavoid lahasig bozo oilom. The person is taught everything possible that he needs to get to know and to accomplish and to achieve within this world. And the moment the person comes out of their mother's stomach into this world, miyad nishkach meitoi, immediately the person forgets the whole thing. As the Gemara says, nido in daflamid. The Gemara over there explains that during the time that a baby is in the mother's stomach, there's a malach that's teaching the child everything that the child needs to know. Right when the child is about to exit from the mother's stomach, the malach strikes the child above, under the nose. That's this indentation that we see in the upper lip, and the child forgets everything. And the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, mashbi'en isoy, that they make the person swear, what? That they're going to spend their whole life searching for this aveda, trying to get back all of this knowledge and information and hasoga that they had been shown during the time that they were in the mother's stomach. Kemoi Sham Razal, as the Gemara says, Es Hashaycheach, I'm sorry, Vahashikhoi Bechinas Aveda. Forgetting means losing, that you lost this item. Kemoi Shikor Razal, Es Hashaycheach Oyved. As the Gemara calls a person who forgets something, a loser, a person who lost something. Kemamor Amzal, as the Gemara says in Pirkei Avos, Mohir Lishmoya, Umohir La'abed, that there are some people that when they hear something, they listen to a shir, they absorb it quickly, and they forget it quickly. And the Gemara doesn't use the word shikha for forgetting, it uses the word la'abed. So we see aveda and shikha are the same thing. V'tzorich lachzor ulevakesh avedosoy, and a yid is required to go out and search for his aveda. V'ho aveda shaloi hi etzel hatzadik. Where do you go looking? Upstairs, downstairs, in the forest, in the river? Where do you go looking? Rabbi Nizal says, the avedos of the person are by the tzaddik. The tzaddik has your aveda. Ki hatzaddik choyzer al avedosoi ad shemoitza. Because a tzaddik is one who spends his life looking for his own aveda. First he goes out and he searches for his own aveda, and he finds it. V'achar shemoitza, and as soon as he finishes finding what he's supposed to find for himself, choyzer umevakesh achar avedos acherim. He goes and looks for other people's avedos. Ad shemoitza gam avedosam, until he finds their lost articles. Ad shemoitza hu avedos shel kol hoylam, until the tzaddik finds all the lost articles of all the different people in the world. Rabbein Azal is implying here that it's possible for somebody to pick up somebody else's avedos also, period. Al kein tzorich lovoi lahachochom ulevakesh ulahakir avedosoi veloshu velekabla etzlo. Therefore, a person has to come to the Talmud Chochom and he has to search for his own aveda and recognize it. He's got to find, that's my jacket over there. That's my coat. That's my chelik in Torah that I'm supposed to get, that's by the tzaddik. Each, the same chelkenu b'seiro secho. Each and every single yid has his own section within Torah, his own pa'ulais in Yiddishkeit that he's supposed to accomplish. Where is it? By the tzaddik. Find the right tzaddik and attach yourself to him, and you'll be able to find exactly what your contribution to Klal Yisrael is supposed to be, what your chelik in the Torah is, what your portion in Hashem is, what your avedos are, literally. Rabbi Nazal says, Ach hatzadik einoi meshiv loy ho avedo ad shid rishenu im einoi ramai v'shakron. However, the tzaddik is required to be selective also. Just like when a yid loses a watch, for example, loses it in the street,
and another yid finds it, there is a halacha that says that the one who found it has to notify the people in the neighborhood, the people in the community, I found a watch. Somebody obviously lost the watch. I found it. Whoever is interested in claiming it, come to my house. Mr. X comes knocking on the door and says, hello, my name is Mr. X. I saw your sign that you found the watch. It's obviously my watch. Are you allowed to give it to him? The answer is no. You're breaking a law in the Torah if you give it to him just like this. The halacha says you have to ask him, you lost the watch? Can you please tell me something about that watch? Was it gold or silver? Digital or with a handle? And if you see, if you can tell that the person is lying, that the person is not telling the truth, you're forbidden to give it to him. It's obviously not his. And if you give it to him, you're doing an avera. You're giving something that belongs to somebody else, to a different person. If you see that he does know that he is sincere in his bakosha, then you're required to give it to him. And if you give it to him, you're doing a mitzvah, the Torah. You're fulfilling the rutzon of Hashem. So Rabbi Nezal says, the tzaddik is required to check out those people that come to him that are looking for their lost articles. The tzaddik is required to check out their sincerity, to see how sincere is this person. How much does he really believe that I have his aveda? How much does he really believe that I'm in a position to give it to him before he's able to actually give it to the person? As the Gemara says in Baba Metzia, that this is a halacha, that you have to check out the person to see, is he sincere or is he insincere? And the tzaddikim know exactly what this refers to, what type of test to initiate on a person to see whether this person is worthy of being given what he's supposed to get, or is this person supposed to be pushed out? Do you close the door on this person and say, I don't have it. I don't have your watch. Go look somewhere else. I have, the watch that I have isn't yours. This is one example. This is one item that was related to this discussion that Rabbi Nezal told here, related to this item of avedos, people losing things, and people finding those things, and the whole process of getting back these lost articles.
How does a tzaddik return something to a person if he can't provide a siman? Sometimes people lose things that even though what it was they lost, or, let's say there's money, there's, for money there's no siman, so, and we know that we learned it at different places that money has a certain spiritual 100%. The answer is tzaddikim can look at a person. It says, at shetidro shema esachichim huramai.
A tzaddik can look and see whether a person is telling the truth or not. He can see whether this money, the tzaddik looks at the money, he sees a siman in the money, he sees the neshama is in that money. And he knows what nefosha is a shayach to which person. He knows whether this money should be in your hands or this money should be in his hands. The tzaddik knows these items. He can identify money, he can identify anything. There's a story with the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh that if somebody came to him once, he lost a certain item, a very expensive item. The Baal Shem Tov took out a Zohar HaKodesh and looked in it. And he said, okay, your item is over there. So the person said to him, what are you talking? Where does it say it? Show me where it says. The Baal Shem Tov said, the Torah says that when Hashem first created the world, what did he use as the blueprint? The blueprint was the Torah. So the Torah is a blueprint for the whole creation. A tzaddik can look at the Zohar HaKadosh, can look at the words of the Torah, and be able to use it as a map. And be able to see in this map, just like you look at a map, you want to find the city of Uman. You need a world map, you have to first locate Russia, then within Russia, the Ukraine, and within the Ukraine. A tzaddik can look at this map. For him, the Torah is like a map. And he knows his way around, and he can find where, what, where and what, and how and when and who and how. Now, on this Torah in Likutei Moran, one of the most outstanding, here again, I'm not, who can judge? In order to judge Rabbein Ezal Sforim, Rav Moshe Ezal Sforim, you have to know the whole thing very, very well. So I wouldn't say that I can be a valid judge necessarily, but on our baby level, I would say that in learning Likutei Halachos, one of the most fantastic chapters in Likutei Halachos is Hilchas Birchas HaPeros, Halacha Hei. A chapter on Likutei Halachos, which is, let's say, 30, 40 pages, where Rav Moshe Zal discusses this subject in beautiful detail. And he takes you on a trip throughout the Torah in his fashion. And he shows you all the different places in the Torah where it discusses lost articles and finding and malochim and fruit. And he shows you what the detailed connections are between this whole topic, looking for a shidduch and tikkun abris and avedos and shofars and Rosh Hashanah and all the different things you'd want to know related to this subject. He weaves it all together in his beautiful, beautiful way. Maybe the following Shir Mitzvashem will try, we're not going to learn the halacha inside, we'll try to select highlights from that halacha and likutei halachos and review it, present it shortly, where Rav Nosson Zal gives us the lemaisa. What do I do? You told me this story about malachim with shofar. How does that, what do I do with that? What does this do for me? How does this help me come closer to Hashem? Rav Nosson Zal likutei halachos will explain to you what to do on what is blowing shofar. If blowing shofar has to do with these avedos, why do we blow shofar dafka on Rosh Hashanah? Why not on Hanukkah? Why not on Sukkot? And what and how in this whole story about the fruit and the Gilgulei Neshamos, all of this he explains there beautifully.
What's the connection between the fruit?
The connection between these two whole chapters in the Likutei Moran, looking for a Shidduch, the fruit, Elul, the Aliyah Yerida, whole story, weaving it all together in his awesome way.
You said about the fruit,
Chias from the person.
The person itself. What does that mean? Like it's like actually the Eight Sahara coming to life, like.
Nothing to do with the Eight Sahara. It's a it's a form of a Malach HaMavis. What does a Malach HaMavis do? He kills the person, right? This is sucking out the life from the person, literally. Now here again, Begashmias, we see it when a person throws up. What happens to them? They become very, very. What's the word I'm looking for?
Weak.
Become very. If a person throws up a lot, really a lot, sometimes they could become so exhausted they have to lay down right away. They become so weak, chas v'shalom, like they're close to death. That kind of thing. You understand? Here we're talking about a case where it draws out the person's strength, chas v'shalom, to such a point. Now again, remember from Torah Ches and Likutei Moran Tanina, where Rabbeinu Zal discussed the concept that a tzaddik has a power to prepare a package, a tefillah, a bechinas din, where he throws this football, in a sense, into the sotan. The sotan sees din written on this tefillah. Din, that's me, the sotan says. And he grabs this package, this tefillah, a bechinas din, and he swallows it. Because the sotan normally assumes that anything that's din, givurois, that's for me. Because I'm from the left side, I'm din. The sotan swallows this package, it gets stuck in his throat. And over there, it causes the sotan to throw up, to vomit up. And what does the sotan vomit up? He vomits up whatever is in his stomach, kaviyachal. And then after he finishes vomiting up what's in his stomach, what does he vomit up after that? His own chiyas. That's the wording, right? Like a person feels like he's going to throw up his intestines. He's throwing up his insides are coming out. That kind of feeling. And the sotan spits up all kinds of neshamos that he has swallowed up over the generations. People that fell into his clutches. People that fell in different sparks of kedusha. That fell into the hands of tum, into the hands of the sotan, become spilled out through this process. This tefillah bebechinas din, which Rav Nosson Zal gives a few hundred different explanations as to what this refers to in the Likutei Halachos. Talk loud.
Today I
saw a new malach, and I know his name.
Yeah, and then you started talking.
Exactly,
about
that exactly, because that's how you know when that Rabbi Nizal, when he started saying this shir, first he mentioned the fact that he saw this new malach. And he knows the name of this malach, and that this malach has other malachim appointed under him. And then he gave this whole discussion about the fruit, that whole issue. And then he went to explaining this whole thing about the malachim with the shofaris and everything else.
But how did the malach connect with the fruit?
What did I say? I said that in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal show, well, we know some connection, that fruit has these avedos in it. It has these neshamos in it. These lost neshamos, chas rachmon al-tzlan, that need a tikkun. They're waiting for a tikkun. They're waiting for a release. And that's part of what has to do with this whole subject.